Hello, everybody. This is Mike,
And Dan.
and welcome to another episode of Comparing Apples to Oranges, the podcast where we take two things in the same category that don't belong in the same genre, and using a certain set of criteria to determine which one's better. Today, we're coming at you with supergroups, and
Via the interwebs,
yeah,
the magic of the internet.
that's why the audio quality is different, but still fun, you
But
know?
still amazing.
I still go back to. I've listened to some podcasts, and it's like, I don't, every time, like, they hit the table and the whole audio shakes up,
Yeah.
or, like, the one guy doesn't know how microphones work,
Right.
or there's,
It's
like,
like if we can do it and
yeah,
we're
very
dumb pieces
dumb.
of
Very
garbage.
dumb. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
this is awful.
Top-tier dummies, you
Yeah.
know?
If we can figure it out, then
And it's all for
and
free.
we have no money. No
We...
kind no production value or
I got
anything.
a bill from Amazon Web Services for 13 cents. That was an annual. I'm paying just over a. I'm paying a penny and a twelfth of a penny a month to do this podcast.
Where are you getting that money from? Selling drugs?
I'm not gonna tell you.
Oh,
You know?
it's drugs, isn't
No, it's
like
an.
selling bath salts.
But like I'm selling bath bombs, and I'm just telling people they're bath salts. It's not my fault they're getting messed up.
I love bath bombs, especially if it like they change color. They tell you like what Hogwarts house you're in or something.
It's, but I don't want to be in a bathtub that long, unless,
That's true.
I don't know. I got stuff to
Yeah,
do.
it is about 5 minutes in, I'm over it.
And then, the $40 bath bomb, handmade, totally
That's true.
wasted. Totally
That's
wasted.
true.
So as you can tell, we're talking about supergroups today. Dan looked up what supergroups are on Wikipedia, because he again, we're very dumb. We don't even know what they are. And the first one that popped up was the three
The
tenors.
three tenors, of course. How many
The
of the three tenors
superiest,
can you name without looking?
one, Pavarotti.
Good for you.
And then D'Artagnan. Oh no, he's the fourth one. It's Porthos, Athos,
He's not in the three, idiot.
Casper,
The Nina, the
Balthazar,
Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Melchior. I know the three kings. Does that count? And not the movie with Ice Cube.
Yeah, I was
Although,
like Ice Cube, Mark Wahlberg, and George Clooney.
I thought it was Anthony Edwards. That's egg on my
He's the
face.
fourth king. He's the
He's the
D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan, of course. Oh man.
Oh my goodness. So it's it says, for example, the three tenors composed of opera superstars Jose
Karate.
Carias,
Jose
Jose
Karate.
Jose
Joe Karate.
Carias, I think. Placido Domingo and Luciano Pavarotti, or Rainbow, have been called a supergroup. What is Rainbow?
I think that's Pavarotti's like side hustle, like when
Oh, hold
he's
on.
okay.
This is a rock band. I'm still on Wikipedia.
Rainbow.
Also known as Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow or Blackmore's Rainbow, are a British rock supergroup led by guitarist Ritchie Blackmore.
I don't know who gets to write these, because those are the, like, I've never heard of the one, and I would never have considered the other a supergroup. I'm of course talking about Rainbow. Everybody knows Rainbow. Their number one hit, I Want to Hold Your Hand. I think that
It
was
says
Rainbow, right?
this lineup gave the band their commercial breakthrough with the single Since You've Been Gone. And I was like, no, Kelly Clarkson did that one.
Oh, did she steal it? Classic IP issues, you know?
But I think Since You've Been Gone, the Kelly Clarkson one has like the letter U in it, like for the word U.
That makes sense. That's too
It's
bad.
probably better than this garbage.
I'm never gonna listen to it. That's a promise. All right.
No. I might listen to it. Just to see if it's better than Kelly Clarkson, which it's not.
Yeah, I think if anything, we're gonna listen to like rage listen to it. Just like, I can't believe that anyone would ever say this is better than
Then
Kelly Clarkson.
I'm gonna come back down with some Kelly Clarkson, put me back in a good mood.
There you go. She takes you down, she takes you right back up.
She's got a lot of good songs,
Classic
Mike.
Kelly. She's been making music since like 2002,
Since the
okay?
40s, the mid 40s.
That can't be right.
We'll have an intern look it up.
Okay.
With all that money you're making.
Is she in her mid-40s now? I don't know how
I
old
don't
Kelly
think so.
Clarkson is.
She's probably mid
No,
30s.
yeah, she's probably 30s.
We'll have an intern look it up. So we're doing supergroups today, and we got a couple good ones picked out, right?
I was actually like, I had never listened to either of these groups, but I had heard more than one of their songs before. Like, I hadn't sought them out, but I had heard of them.
Kelly
So,
Clarkson's 37, by the way.
still looks pretty good.
Not bad.
Thanks, intern.
You're
So,
welcome.
stay in the background.
But yeah.
Stay off mic.
Stay
Got
in your
you.
lane, Josh.
I think what the important thing to remember about a supergroup is that it has to be comprised of people who you recognize from other bands.
Yeah.
And it's different than a side project because a side project means that they stay in the other band and this is just like fun for them. And it's usually like a one-off thing. Do you know who the band Primus is?
I've heard of them. Oh, they do
South Park.
don't they do a My Name Is Mud? Is that
Yeah,
Primus?
I didn't know you would know that one. But yeah, so that guy, Trey Anastasio, he's in like five different bands. One of
Right.
them's called Buckethead, Primus, some other
Does
silly ones.
Buckethead have the guitarist Buckethead in it?
I hope so. Man, I'd sure feel silly if I didn't know this answer. So I'm just gonna move on. But I think some of the bands that they said were supergroups, like they said that the Foo Fighters were a supergroup because it had Dave Grohl, and Dave Grohl was in a different band before, like Nirvana, and he was the drummer, but now he's the singer. I wouldn't consider that a supergroup. Like, I didn't follow any strict reasons as to what I determined a supergroup was, except for the fact that I knew that like these people outside of of this group, and this one was basically there for a little bit, and then they all went back to their own things.
Did you ever see, and I'm guessing you probably didn't, but there was a TV show on VH1 called Supergroup.
No.
So it was, I'm looking up who, just to remember who it was now. I remember it was like a reality show,
Okay.
and they took these that guys from different groups and put them together to like the goal was to like make an album
Okay.
together. And I remember it was Sebastian Bach
Johann
from
Sebastian Bach?
no
Oh. Time Travelers. Cool, cool, cool.
From Skid Row, the lead singer from Skid Row,
Okay.
and Ted Nugent, I remember was in there, and Scott Ian from Anthrax, the guy with like the big old long beard,
Okay.
and I think it was, I'm looking it up now, it was Jason Bonham was the drummer, not John Bonham. It was his son, Jason Bonham, not John Bonham from that was a drummer of The Who.
Okay.
So it was like his son and I don't know, a couple other guys in there. It says Evan Seinfeld. Who's that?
Jerry's brother.
Oh, he's from he was the bassist for Biohazard, apparently.
Yeah, that's the thing. There are an enormous amount of supergroups of things that, like, I've never heard of the bands they're coming from, and I've also never heard of them.
Yeah.
And
So you have a hard time qualifying that as a contributor to a super group.
not necessarily like the. So I'm gonna find one. I don't know. Like, the Yardbirds were a band, and then, like, some of them went to, like, like Led Zeppelin. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, so Led Zeppelin had Jimmy Page, who was from the Yardbirds, and then Robert Plant and John Bonham, who were in Band of Joy. And they're like, oh, that's a supergroup. I'm like, I don't think that
Yeah.
counts. Like,
What's your favorite Band of Joy song?
this little band of mine, I'm gonna let it
Oh,
shine.
I love that song.
It's not their best, but it's my favorite, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because a lot of people, when they're a lot of musicians will just play with different bands
Because that's.
and then have success later on.
So they said that ABBA is a super group. I just think that's
Yeah, see,
wrong.
yeah, I don't think that counts. Yeah. To me, a super group is you take people that have had commercial success and you put them together and you see what happens.
And so they're saying Journey is a supergroup, and they're also saying Bathory bad company is a supergroup.
Hmm.
I don't know. But no, your definition makes more sense, and that's kind of why we picked the ones we picked, because it's yeah. like it's everyone knows what these guys did before they were in the supergroup, and we know what they did after too.
Right.
So,
right.
Which one do you want to start with, Dan?
Let's start with Deja Vu.
Okay. So we listened to 1970s album called Deja Vu from the supergroup Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, or CSI Miami, CSI NY, CSNY. That's it. I got on that one. It is qualified as a vocal supergroup that does folk rock, country rock, and soft rock, which is like a really good oxymoron to have a soft rock. I think that's a fun,
yeah.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, Delilah on KEZK here in St. Louis, soft rock 102.5. Used to put me to sleep every night.
Better than Dramamine, you know?
So now, like, when I hear those soft rock songs, I just pull right off the road.
It's the safest thing to do.
Because I know I'm going to fall asleep.
Safest thing to do. So this was interesting. I was learning a lot that it was basically Crosby, Stills, and Nash were their own supergroup, and then they added Neil Young. Because who worked with him? Somebody worked with him in one of the bands.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Stills because they were in Buffalo Springfield together.
Right, right. Something happening here.
That's a great song.
What it is ain't exactly clear. Yeah, I love that song.
So they are made up of American singer-songwriters David Crosby, Stephen Stills, English singer-songwriter Graham Nash, and, you know, all-around playboy Canadian singer-songwriter Neil Young, who I would say he's the most famous today.
Yes.
But, like, at the time, they were all insanely popular.
Sure. Yeah, I think – and probably the one that went off and had the most solo success, either before or after, because honestly – you know, probably got 20 something years ago when, you know, my dad first, you know, got me listening to Crosby, Stills and Nash.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Neil Young was even, I'd only heard of Crosby, Stills and Nash. I didn't even know Neil Young was like part of the group. Cause
he
I guess,
show up.
Yeah. Cause I guess like afterwards, like Crosby, Stills, after a couple of albums together with the foursome, Neil Young kind of went off and did his own thing and had a lot of solo success.
Yes.
So I had in that I found regarding like the adding of Neil Young, it said at the urging of Atlantic Records founder Ahmet Ergütün.
Yeah, I don't know how to say that. I know Ahmet. That's all I'm going to come big A.
Young was brought in as a fourth member, reuniting him with Stills, his Buffalo Springfield's bandmate. And the updated group then embarked on their initial tour in the summer of 69.
Also by that group. That's crazy.
But apparently they tried to get Steve Winwood.
That would have been crazy.
Bring me a higher love. Oh.
It says he was already occupied with newly formed group Blind Faith, which I didn't know he was in a group, so I learned a little bit of something there.
He was already occupied making his own shitty music.
Hey, man. It still rings out today, all right?
Dude, Steve Winwood. What else? What a gonna be back in the high life again. All his big songs had to do with high, like.
Yeah, when you were saying which of the members had the most success, I'm like, do you consider like alcohol and cocaine abuse success? Because
I think so.
That was Crosby, hands down.
I think so.
Oh wait, no.
I don't see why not.
No, it was Stills. It said they, all three members decided to, I'm getting ahead of myself, decided to fire Stills during a two-night stint at Chicago's Auditorium Theater in July 1970,
he did all the cocaine.
Which is like when they were touring for this album, like, listened to.
Do you think it was because he was doing drugs or because he was doing all the band's drugs?
Yeah. It said that they were running into a lot of ego problems, and what that means is one nose kept snorting up all the coke.
It's not – it's puff, puff, pass. It's not puff, 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 puff.
Snort, snort,
Puff,
pass
puff.
out.
My dad always goes back to the he listened to the Keith Richards
Oh, God.
Biography.
Was it read to him?
It was read by Keith Richards.
Well, the answer is the age-old question. Can Keith Richards read?
Apparently, if he writes it. Apparently, but it's written in Keith Richards' own, with his own alphabet, so he's the only one that can read it. Nobody's found the Rosetta Stone for
so
it
smart.
Yet. But he said something like, I'm completely clean. I mean, I smoke weed every day and snort a bit of blow every now and then. But I'm completely clean.
What is that? What could he possibly consider, like, not being clean then?
I smoke weed every day and I snort a bit of blow every now and then. Other
keep,
than that.
Just to keep him even. Clean. That's insane.
If that was me, my life would be in shambles.
Yeah, you'd be dead. Your heart would
explode.
I'd
be dead.
You'd have a stroke. It would be bad news. It'd be so
we're not all, we're not, we don't, they don't make people like they make Keith Richards anymore.
I don't know if he's a person. I think he's drug-fueled skeleton. So.
He's like the line from Star Wars. He's more machine than man.
We're talking about C-3PO. Duh.
Of course.
He's just
of course.
Golden iPhone.
Metrosexual robot.
According to Wikipedia, Crosby was from the band The Birds. Stills and eventually Young were from Buffalo Springfield. Nash was from the band The Hollies.
Mm-hmm. Bus stop. I
like that song.
Under my umbrella.
That's a good one. And then it said David Crosby played guitar, sang and wrote songs for The Birds. Steven Stills was a guitarist, keyboardist, vocalist, and songwriter when he was in Buffalo Springfield. And Graham Nash had been a guitarist, singer, and songwriter for the Hollies. And then, like...
That's a lot of talent, man.
Crosby gets kicked out of the Birds. Buffalo Springfield disintegrated. After aiding in putting together the band's final album, Stills was unemployed. Stills mm-hmm. and Crosby began meeting informally and jamming. Parentheses, probably smoking that devil's lettuce.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's just like... They're hanging out at a party, and then they're like all argue at whose party it is, but we're pretty sure it's Joni Mitchell's, according to this.
Of course.
And they just like sing one of their songs, and they're like, the vocals totally gelled, bro. You're like, oh my God.
So they're arguing, and it turns into musical.
They had very good vocal chemistry, and then they can't decide whose house it was at. So then they released an album in 69, and then Deja Vu came with Young in 1970.
Right.
After Steve Winwood blew them off.
Yeah. Bring me a higher love.
So, according to this, Young was originally just going to be a guitarist, but he was a proficient keyboardist and could alternate on the instrument with Stills and Nash in a live context. And that's why they wanted to, like, get another person on, is because they needed more, like... Apparently they did a lot of the, like, recording, like, individual sessions,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, crazy, because there's so much vocal harmony.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it because they didn't want to be around each other, or they all wanted to be in charge?
Well, they also all, like, didn't, like, according to the Wikipedia page, they, like, had gotten burned when they were in groups.
By Steve Winwood.
That jackass.
Yeah.
But, no, like, they all wanted to be independent, so they didn't want the group to keep going if they weren't in it. So that's mm-hmm. why they all, like, the band's name wasn't, like, you know...
like the Yardbirds or...
Or Journey. It's like, hey, if this is Crosby, Stills, Young, you're like, where's Nash? I'm not going to that concert. So they all wanted to, like, leave at any point, just in case. None of them were going to go down with this ship, all right?
Sure. Yeah, so, like Journey's like touring with that Asian guy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks YouTube.
That he does Steve like a really good Steve Perry impersonation.
Which I guess that's
a
compliment.
And works for like a 20th of the money probably.
Yeah.
Well, probably just works for free just because he gets to hang out. It's like
he gets to go to
Journey
concerts
fan.
Every
yeah,
day. Yeah,
for free.
Yeah. That's
I get,
true.
Dude, I get to go to Journey concerts whenever I want.
And he gets to karaoke sing with them. So I know mm-hmm. that's gotta be
That'd be amazing.
Probably pretty big.
You mentioned Joni Mitchell
Yeah.
earlier. Apparently, she was romantically involved with Stephen Stills.
Oh, no. Trouble.
You know,
I did not.
No, I'm sorry. Nash. Because one of the songs on the album, Woodstock,
Yeah.
was actually, says it was
Her
written by,
song, right?
yeah, written by Joni Mitchell as a folk song, but adapted by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young as a rocked out version with potent electric guitar motifs and especially harmonized counter melodies during the choruses. Said Mitchell did not play at the actual Woodstock Festival, which I didn't know. I kind of like, I guess
just
I just
assumed every single person from the 60s
yeah,
played there.
I just kind of like lump her in with like, you know, Jimi Hendrix
Yeah.
and you know, that era.
Right.
It said, but wrote the song based on accounts from then boyfriend Nash and
Oh.
recorded her own version for the album Ladies of the Canyon. So apparently Nash was at Woodstock and told Joni Mitchell all about it, and she wrote that song.
And that was the song that I had heard before, and I didn't know that it was by Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Oh, okay. Mine, the one that I had heard before that I didn't know was by them was Our House.
Which is another, yeah, I'd heard that probably 100 times.
Which
Idea.
Apparently is, it says, the song portrays a day in the life of Nash and Mitchell verbatim.
Oh. That's uncomfortable. All
yeah.
right. So that's our
they
first.
Had two cats.
That's our first album. It was wildly popular. I don't remember. Oh, okay. Here we go. It was certified septuple platinum. That's seven out there for everybody. Its domestic sales currently, so it was as of 2017, was 8 million copies of this album. And then it
so,
remains
so
the highest.
Octuple platinum?
I guess so.
Yeah.
According to that.
They need a new record.
It remains the highest selling album of each member's career. So
okay.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So they, you know, they were talking, you were talking about how they, I guess Crosby, Stills, and Nash had the initial album,
mm-hmm.
which was apparently so amazing that people were clamoring for
yeah.
the second album to come. And a lot of times you get that sophomore slump.
Oh yeah.
With the second album. You know, I could talk for an hour probably about all the second albums I bought that were just garbage
yeah.
over the years. A lot of people only have one bullet in the gun.
And they don't know that when they sign a contract. Like, what do you mean I have to put out more music? I've spent like my whole life making this
I'm
album.
Not that creative.
That's
I am not that good at this. I got lucky once.
And I want more money now.
Why are you making me do this again?
Yeah. That's it, man. Speaking of sophomore slumps, let's talk about our second supergroup, The Firm. No, it is not the Tom Cruise movie.
Novel, right?
It is not the John Grisham novel that was the novelization of the movie, that either. It is called The Album, which came out in 1997? Yeah, 1997. By the supergroup, the hip hop supergroup, The Firm. All right, and so the boys and girls we got in this one is Nas, most famous. So this is like, I think just a couple years after he did Illmatic.
Mm-hmm.
So he did Illmatic. He did It Was Written, and then I think this came out. So it's him. It's produced by Dr. Dre, and then we have a female rapper, Foxy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite, is it AZ or AZ? What do you think? I think it's capitalized, so it's AZ. That's what I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, let's go with AZ.
And then it used to have, like, right before they started, they had a guy called Cormiga, but he got booted out, and then they replaced him with a rapper named Nature. Apparently, there's also a British supergroup from the mid-80s called The Firm. So
yeah, I found that up to
disambiguation page.
I'm like, wait a minute, I listened to the wrong album. When's Nas coming in?
Yeah, he's really he must be just like on the keyboards in the back or something. I don't know.
Can I ask you about Nas real quick.
Okay.
Because he's probably one of the, I don't know if he's be on the, probably not on the Mount Rushmore of rappers, but
it depends on what, like, when people got into rap.
Yeah,
because
he's very highly regarded.
To some people, he's the only reason that, like some of the people who are popular today, like J. Cole or like Kendrick Lamar or Chance the Rapper, in their mind, like, they wouldn't be anything without Nas. Same thing with like Mos Def and like those, and like, you know, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't be popular today.
So this may be a bit of a hot take then, because I was never a big Nas guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I liked certain tracks, but I never, that none of his albums are like, you know, top 10 mm-hmm. like rap albums of
yeah.
all time for me.
Yeah.
So
no, I think that's because you started listening like earlier.
Yeah.
So like you had a set idea of what rap was, and
sure.
he's sort of he might be the second generation. Like, because I'm not counting any of the, like, Grandmaster Flash or
yeah.
any of the bands that are mentioned in that, in like, as the founders or the grandfathers of rap. Like,
yeah.
I don't consider, yeah. I don't, anybody who likes that stuff, like, compared, and, like, still says they
I
like rap, they're lying.
To the hat store and I bought
myself
a hat.
Like, nobody wants to hear your hat story. And that's, I think that's what, like, so, like, 90s rap. Or early 90s rap is sort of like generation one. He's later 90s, and then like 2000 sort of like, you know, is that...
He was after like the gangster rap
yeah.
thing. It
yes.
was kind of like around the time like when Jay-Z, like when right on, yeah. Hard Knock Live came out, and
yes.
and then after Biggie died, and like Puff Daddy like started making
yes.
music, and it was
well,
more about
like,
like
Dr. Dre too, you know.
Yeah.
When he's
But it was more yeah, it was like after Dr. Dre had kind of gotten away from like the okay, like talking about being like hardcore and being a gangster. Let's just talk about like being rich and
right.
let's talk about like smoking weed and let's
right.
talk about like having money and you know, getting with ladies and stuff like that.
Scandals.
And Nas is, you know, a lot of people kind of see him as like a voice of like their generation almost
mm-hmm.
you
yeah.
know. He's very, you know, a lot of people talk about him like he's, you know, very they hold him in very high regard, and
yes.
I guess I just, you know, I guess your explanation makes sense, is that I came in a little bit before that, so I was already kind of like planting my flag in like Tupac and,
yeah.
and Biggie and,
well, you got to remember like
E-40 and guys like that.
Rap is not like rock in a lot of ways, where like everyone
yeah.
can agree, like the rock Mount Rushmore, everybody can agree on like two or three people that have
yeah.
to, or groups that have to be on it, like
sure.
No matter when you started, like even if you like if you put Chad Kroeger from Nickelback on your Mount Rushmore of rock, you would still have like the other three people everyone would still agree on, you know what I mean? Like but
yeah,
but rap is so, I mean, like even like East Coast West Coast, like that whole thing, like that's a divide, like people who are passionate who were listening to music at the same time would say, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life, and this is what I say is the best thing. And like it's, and they're not drastically different. Like, Nas isn't, like, he didn't recreate anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he did something different, and that pissed a lot of people off. Or a lot of people are like, oh, that's just derivative. People were doing something like this before.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But, sure. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there
mm-hmm.
about Nas, because, I mean, he's obviously the most well-known of this group.
Come on, Nature? Remember his, No, I got nothing.
I will say that I had a couple Foxy Brown albums.
Yeah.
She at the time it was, you know, kind of like Coke and Pepsi was like,
mm-hmm.
were you a Foxy Brown guy or were you a Lil' Kim guy?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, like, there's, it's very, it's always, there's, there gets to be two. That's always, and like right now we've got the Nicki Minaj and the Cardi B, and you're
yep.
like, but they're kind of similar, right? You're like, yeah, no, of course. We're not allowed.
Like, no, no.
The
Cardi B is trash, and Nicki Minaj is great, or vice versa.
One's a lot taller, you know.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, there was they Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim. I think Lil' Kim probably had more commercial success, and probably just because she was,
With the
associated
retrospect.
with Puffy and Biggie and that crew, so she kind of got to had a little bit more exposure
Yeah,
that way.
she was comfortable diverse. I think she was in the Pussycat Dolls too. Like she was ready to get her foot in wherever she could. So I think that paid off in like the annals of history. She's going to be more remembered.
Yeah, probably. And she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Did not know that. My
And
mom
then
should have told me that.
she might be in jail now.
Because
Lil'
she
Kim,
lost or because she
huh?
won?
Yeah, that's what happens to the losers. They put, like, you might win this trophy, or you might go to jail.
Gotta spice it up, It's in season 40, so they gotta do something new.
That's right.
After, Buzz Aldrin was on there spinning his, mummy body around, everyone's like, we gotta do something new. People are gonna stop watching.
Oh, apparently Lil' Kim went to jail in 2005.
Didn't we all? I mean,
She
come
went
on.
for a year because she lied under oath about a shootout that happened.
Oh man, that's scary.
Well, you know what? And then she's had a lot of plastic surgery too. Oh my
I
goodness.
mean, she, like, yeah.
He looks like a wax figure of Lil' Kim.
That's too bad.
Like
Oh.
Kenny Rogers looks like a wax figure of Kenny Rogers.
Okay.
But we're talking about Foxy Brown here. I liked both of them. I liked Foxy Brown kind of came out around that time when for women to get accepted in rap, they had to kind of I didn't really like the way they kind of had to portray themselves. They had to portray themselves.
Over-sexualized.
Yeah, and not even just like over-sexualized. It was like, I will suck your dick.
Right.
I will I like big dicks. I
Right.
need a big dick in
And I
me.
cannot lie. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Get my twat lit. Never love a trick. Get him for his chips. Fuck him in his dick. Nigga with a stick. He acting like a bitch. Should've known this. Got the stone to rinse. I ain't no bone in this. Ball mass shit. I can play with my shit. And it's not like the singers you see now
Yeah.
who, make money off, sex appeal.
Right.
It's, I will do,
Explicit
whatever.
acts.
Yeah, explicit acts to get ahead.
Ah, good one, Dan. Good one.
Sorry. Sorry.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting. And that was,
Yeah.
that but that's where the rap game was
Yeah.
at the time. And the rap game evolves as we've seen from, go to the hat store and bought myself a hat
Right.
to,
And then, but like, you can't argue, like, Lauryn Hill, was out there, and she was, but I don't think they considered her rap. I think they always said she was R&B,
Yeah, because she could all, I mean, because she was,
She was also, like, a talented singer, and,
yeah, she
like,
was a very good singer
not to say that, like,
and
rappers aren't,
songwriter
but, like,
and
you,
but could also rap.
right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, you, the expectation for a rapper is that, like, like, spit that fire. It's a, like, you
Right.
don't need to have pipes to be a rapper, which
Yeah,
is.
if you want to hear the personification of rappers singing, listen to Biggie sing Player
You.
Hater.
I'm also, like, a big fan of Biz Markie because he's self-aware,
He's like, you know what? I sound like shit. I don't
Yeah.
care.
Yeah.
You
You got what I
I
need!
need
You gotta. You gotta.
millions of records.
Here's the thing, though, is like we're doing it, but like we're not cracking as much as him. We have to sound worse. That's the
Yeah.
problem.
Can't do it. We're
No,
too
sorry.
we're the Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young of podcasting.
And
So
we're
talk about a little bit about the
okay.
I feel like we've talked
So
about the individuals a little bit.
the
And I
group,
don't really know much. I don't know
no,
about the solo careers of the other two,
yeah,
really.
neither do I. I do know that. Nature was pulled in because so the album like got s the idea for it came out hang on. Although the group received initial hype and high expectations from fans upon their formation after collectively signing to Dr. Dre's Aftermath label, the album didn't do so well. The album, which had like it said a mafioso rap themes and production from Dr. Dre and Trackmasters, which is like the production group,
Yeah.
was criticized for being mainstream and pop oriented. It was their only
I said,
release.
oh, go
I
ahead.
think they toured because like it came out in 97 and then they disbanded in 99. And they each went on to their own solo career. Oh, okay, here it is. So the origin came from Nas was doing his second album, It Was Written, which was after Illmatic, and then it included a collaboration on a song called Affirmative Action. So it had AZ, Cormega, and Foxy Brown. Cormega had been ousted from the group and was replaced by Nature prior to the recording the firm's debut due to artistic differences between him and Nas, as well as contract disagreements with his with Steve Stout, the manager. So, I don't know. Maybe he dodged a bullet. Who knows?
You talked about Dr. Dre. I found a review here. It says Dre working with some guy called Glove and also Melman got his shit mad fucked up here.
Hang on, is Glove G Love? Because that's like G Love and Special Sauce. Have you ever
That
heard that?
says Glove.
All right, it's a pretty good song.
And Melman, who I think I think he's one of the bad guys in the He-Man universe. Maybe thinking
That's
of Merman, but
they're all the same. So everybody was so according to the producers, at one point 50 Cent and Mary J. Blige were tentatively considered to be added to the group. That would have been wild. All right.
they didn't there was no room for him. There was already too much talent
Yeah. That's the thing
on
is like
board.
they're these people aren't bad at
No.
their job. Like they just did a bad thing. It's like when you
I
see a
mean, there's a
movie.
lot of talent on here. Fucking Dr. Dre's producing it.
Yeah.
Like, if you were making a rap album and you had to like pick, other than Spider-Man
Yeah.
to produce your rap album,
God damn. That is a
you'd
call,
go
that
to
is a callback. That
Dre,
is a Color Me Bad callback that belongs
right?
in just the black hole of my mind. I don't need it.
which you can listen to in the archives.
That's
Of a
ridiculous.
former episode, there's like who else would you get to produce it? And then you get like, oh, we probably need a female in this group. Well, there's two prominent ones
See,
in rap at the
I
time.
gotta
You got
say,
them.
I don't think like I'm getting ahead of myself, but like I think they did a good job like bringing in a female. Like Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young didn't do that, you know? Joni Mitchell was at they were at her house, and they didn't bring her in. Okay.
Yeah, she was probably still bitter about that.
Yeah, that's why she kept dating that guy for a long time.
Oh, jeez.
So okay, so I'm looking up the other people. AZ, oh, he published a book in
Ooh.
2015. Self-published a book. That's probably not good.
Those are always good.
He appeared in a Sprite commercial. He's made cameo appearances in the movie Belly.
He was holding the boom mic in a Sprite commercial.
Still counts. He was on Illmatic with Nas in '94. That's when the first one. And then he did a couple of his own albums, and then he the name of his album was Doe or Die. I don't know.
That's what it's all about, man. I say that every day.
But he did a lot of the he's been putting stuff out.
I'm looking at your screen right now. Go up just a little bit. There's something that says it helps immensely that he's brought along people like Dr. Period, As Is, Nas, and something. My gorgeous face is covering up. And
Buckwild,
Buckwild,
and they don't
but they don't
outshine.
outshine the younger AZ as he holds his own well.
I don't
As
know.
Is. AZ, IZZ, and Doctor Period. And Doc doesn't have a period
Yeah,
after Doctor, which is.
was like maybe it's DR period. Who knows? Okay, so that's AZ. Who else we got? We got our boy Nature.
Nature.
Jermaine Baxter. We have the same birthday. That's incredible.
Happy birthday,
Thanks. I earned it.
man.
Doesn't really look like he did a lot there, Dan. Okay.
He replaced Cormega.
Oh, okay. So Noriega, he keeps getting mentioned in
Yeah, he
some
was
of the
the
he was
like the
featured.
leader of that country.
No, the
Manuel
rapper.
Noriega.
The
Yeah, I
rapper.
get it. Yeah, he's a
Yeah.
piece of shit.
Yeah. He was alongside Big Pun. Cam'ron, I've heard of. Jadakiss, yeah, I know these people. Okay. He was in Angels in America soundtrack. That's interesting. Does he
Yeah,
do any other
Noriega was,
albums?
kind of the U.S. invaded Panama and kind of got him out of power,
Somebody had to.
so he became a rapper.
Makes sense. Everybody's got a side hustle.
Yep.
So,
Yeah,
yeah.
that was the time in rap when everybody was naming themselves after like fascist dictators,
It's the only way people get like recognized.
like
So it
Tupac became Machiavelli, and there was a Hussein. There was
No,
like,
there. Come
yeah,
on.
I think it
That's
was
out of
like
control.
Hussein Fade or something like that. There was a who was there was a Mussolini.
That's
There was
I don't believe this.
a Noriega, but there was no nobody ever had the balls to be DJ Hitler.
MC Hitler.
I think there's an opportunity there, Mike, if you ever wanted to get into the rap game. Like, dude, this guy's a badass.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't fuck around with like any of the other dictators.
Yeah,
He went with Hitler, DJ Hitler.
he was on his own. No one went to any of his concerts though. So
Well, that small group did.
yipes. They don't even like music. Those
No.
Nazis. So Foxy Brown is definitely like the most. She had the most success of all the others besides Nas. She
Yeah.
has a whole Wikipedia section called Feuds. She
I'm
is
looking at
not.
that
She has eight known feuds, and then the last one's called Other Feuds, and
now. Her
it's longer.
discography has three like subheadings, and her feuds has like 10 subheadings.
Oh man. So, yeah.
Is she so mad at everybody? In 2010, Foxy Brown dubbed Nicki Minaj a liar for her false recollection of Brown having a conversation with her about Lil' Kim. On November 26, 2010, Brown released a diss track called Hold Ya, which targeted Minaj and Kim, in which Brown made references of Minaj being a fake pop style.
Let me tell you what, this is a negative criticism she said. She said Nicki Minaj's song Starships, which isn't that bad of a song,
Yeah.
was the most sellout song in hip hop history. Katy Perry bullshit, not hardcore hip hop.
I don't think it's the most sellout in hip hop.
Like, has
I'd
she
have
heard,
to be
listened to
something that
anything
Puff Daddy
by Pitbull?
did.
Anything by Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide.
He sucks.
I
Okay.
think I would have, it'd have to be something by Puff Daddy.
Oh, zing. Come on.
Yeah.
No way.
Every breath you take, every move you make. Remember that one when Biggie died and they ripped off the police?
Yeah, somebody had to,
It
right?
was, I'll be missing you.
I actually don't remember that, but I'm gonna look it up
It
later.
was huge, Mike. It was huge.
That's definitively sellout if it's big
It
enough.
was a ridiculously sellout.
That's bad news. That's too bad. All
Yeah.
right, so those are our two bands, our two super groups. Clearly different, but in
Yeah.
some way very similar. We're going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to give you the four criteria that we're going to use to determine which one's the better super group. And we're back. We've got our four criteria set up just for this episode, and we've got, as always, whenever we tackle two albums, we consider which one is better for re-listenability. So, Dan, how many times did you listen to both of these? Like six, seven times? What are we talking? One times?
One,
Yeah, me
yeah.
too.
My power was out for like 18 hours, so
That's too many hours, Dan.
I was lucky I got one.
That's
I had to like
crazy.
go turn the car on and charge my phone
Ugh,
at one point.
this is like being
Like,
in a third world country,
yeah,
It's like camping.
it's like being in like Escape from New York with Kurt Russell.
Filmed in East St. Louis.
Yeah, like what? We need a place that's like what would happen like if New York got like apocalyptic and like just like awful. like take New York and just make it like the most rundown piece of shit town it can be.
Got it. So
like, yeah. The scouts found it real quick.
Yeah.
Seed St. Louis.
So
I listened to each one time.
Okay. So did I. And then the second one we've got is which album that was produced by a supergroup. Now supergroups don't like accidentally come together. It is a move by the record label to put out, to put butts in seats at concerts and to, you know, get CDs or albums sold. And so like which one had the better single or, you know, couple of singles that like were clearly designed to just like show you how awesome the fact that this supergroup's here together. So like when I think supergroups today, they're not really there. You see a lot more like featured, like so and so is featured on this, or like this is going to be a sweet collabo for like two songs or something. And then you've sort of seen it more now with like movies and like TV shows, like the crossover. Like the Avengers did a great job of being like the first supergroup for movies where you're like, oh my god, this guy's in this? That's crazy. Like there's Paul Rudd again. Like that's great. You know, like I think that that really shows you a lot of, it's a marketing thing too. So which one did a better job marketing their supergroup album by like having some hot singles pop off? Okay, next we've got which supergroup did a better job of having like equal contributions from all the members? Like, is this a supergroup or is this just like, you know, Jack White singing, playing guitar, and then like Meg White's just sort of like asleep on a couch for that one song, or like sort of hitting a drum whenever she
remembers. Like when Paul McCartney left the Beatles and he joined Wings. And then it was Wings, I think, for a little while, and then they said, you know what, this is Paul McCartney and Wings. This is Paul McCartney's like project.
Yeah.
So that would not be like everybody, you know, contributing to the to the cause there.
Like, another example is like the band that, like, it's Bob Dylan and the band. Like the band puts out their own music. Like they have album, like, you know, multiple albums where they don't have Bob Dylan and they don't become a supergroup. It's just Bob Dylan and the band.
Right.
And then our last one is, because it's a supergroup, like, they could have just, you know, been a regular group, or they could have just stayed a solo artist. Which supergroup was, as a whole, it was better than the sum of its parts? So, where do you want to start, Dan?
Re-listenability, baby.
All right. Which album are you going to re-listen to? Because now you have the opportunity to.
Well, I hope to never have to listen to the Firm album again, so I'm going to go with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Okay, that was an easy one. I didn't like every song on either album. Like,
no.
There wasn't, I want to, this isn't a hands-down obvious one, because I'm like, oh, all of these songs are bad, so, but all of these songs are really good. There were some, I liked more of the songs on the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And even though they were similar in length, the Firm felt longer, which I don't know. I can't explain that because it was less than an hour.
My problem with the Firm album is that I enjoyed the skits more than I did the songs.
Okay. Because you're a lover of skits. You're a born actor.
I think they were just like unintentionally hilarious.
Oh yeah, it's completely unintentional. That was supposed to be hard. you were supposed to be like, this is so cool.
Yeah, because they were trying to be all like Scarface kind of.
They said they just want to question me. The interruption, 4 a.m. They knocked, they caught me fucking. Throw on something. Man, provocative. Play with the top lock. Buy me some time so I can hide the shit kind of quick. Move the guns, clip the herb. They got me shook up. Plus my nut was disturbed. Hide the chocolate. Picking up shells from off the carpet. Barricading the door for war like a hostage. It's my crib. Got my name on the...
Which always goes over really well in audio form. You know.
It was, yeah, they were trying to, everybody was trying to be like, they were like, you know, these hardcore, like, mobster, gangster, cocaine dealers, and Then there's one where like Foxy Brown like is banging some dude who's got like premature ejaculation or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then she like goes to town on some vibrator like yep. while he's like still in the room.
Yep.
Like that's hilarious.
So like this album is like a, you know, a PSA for cunnilingus in like a lot of ways, you know, like she mentions that like probably 6 or 7 times in 2 songs.
Like she's dropping a lot of hints.
Yeah.
Not subtly.
It wouldn't be a hint if it was subtle, Dan. All right.
That's true.
So okay, re-listenability, that's an easy one. What about Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Deja Vu album makes it re-listenable?
The harmonies, man.
Yeah, you're all
harmonies
about those.
Harmonies are amazing.
Those harmony tones. Yeah, you love that shit. My,
it's so good.
It folk rock is like one of the categories, and like this is like the perfect example of it. Like they're singing about like, you know, we're like, I love everybody. That was one of their song titles, and
yeah.
That's just like really good acoustic guitar. Like then the like the bass and drums aren't really prominent because it's sort of like softer rock, you know.
But everything like was like very precise.
Oh my gosh. And all the singing's beautiful. Like all of these men have different, like Neil Young has a very particular voice.
We are scattered, we are golden, we are filled.
If you've ever heard Jimmy Fallon do an impersonation of Neil Young, it's really funny.
But they just do a really good job of, you know, integrating all of their talents. And it's really fun to listen to. Not all the songs. Like, especially that one about, like, I'm going to cut my hair today.
Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day.
That is so
almost
dumb.
Almost cut my hair is what it's called.
So dumb. I almost cut my hair. It's like, this is a close call. So dumb.
Yeah, and you know, oddly enough, that you say that song has no harmonies on it.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's it was just a David Crosby lead vocal.
Yeah.
And you know that kind of, you know, we know they know what they're really good at.
Right.
But I think everybody kind of felt like they wanted to get their in pro wrestling. There's a thing called getting your shit in.
Is this where, true, or is this just what you say? Because you always say
true.
This. Okay.
This is true.
All right.
Where, you know, everybody wants to go out there and get their big moves in.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter who wins or loses, but everybody wants to get their big moves in. They want to do their big poses. They want to do, like, their things that they chant along with the crowd.
Yeah.
They want to get their – and if they don't have time to get their shit in,
yeah.
then they're not happy. You know,
yeah.
even if they lose, if they get their shit in, they're good. But, you know, on a – you would think that with a lot of egos in a supergroup, how could there not be egos? You know, it's a supergroup.
Right.
It's like the Justice League. They got egos. You know, everybody thinks that their, you know, contribution is very meaningful, and they want to get their shit in.
Right.
And, you know, David Crosby wanted to get his shit in, and unfortunately it was kind of a shitty song.
But I assume that, like, at the time it was taken well. Like, it was accepted by the community because they're all a bunch of –
because they were high. Yeah.
Long hair idiots who hate America. So.
Yep.
All right. So that was an easy one. Let's go to which supergroup did a better job of having everyone contribute?
Oh, so we just did the
we did re-listenability.
Okay.
Now we're doing contributions.
Okay. I mean, to me, I thought both albums did a pretty good job of
I thought so too.
Of everybody kind of had their moment to shine.
Right.
And honestly, on the Firm album, the song that I liked the best was like a fucking nature song. Was that 5 minutes to Flush?
Yeah.
Searching my spot behind curtain, stay cursing. Chief of police finally meeting in person, but I just flushed the yayo. What could he say though? Trying to flip on me, once was on the payroll. Trying to lay low, he can't find what he need. So instead, I'm cuffed, taken down for some weed. But it's just.
Which also, that was a pretty good skit opener for that too.
Right.
The Flush intro.
Right. I thought that. That nature actually, when I would expect that, you know, Nas or maybe even Foxy would have had, you know, kind of like the biggest like standout moment. But for me, it was a nature song, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to me. It just, that's just kind of a perfect example of misused talent. And
they,
you know,
flushed
the
talent
had,
down the toilet.
They
just
did.
Like all that
they
coke.
Did. And, you know, just the fact that you've got Nas, who in some people's mind is an all-time great, and you got, you know, Foxy Brown is one of the prominent female rappers of her time. You got Dr. Dre producing, and Nature's the one who stood out to me.
Right.
You know, that just tells me that there was some mismanagement going on there. I thought that both albums did a good job of everybody kind of getting their getting their opportunity to shine. I got to go with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, just because to me it seemed like everybody not only contributed vocally,
right,
and kind of had their chance to, you know, like we said, even like on the David Crosby song, Almost Cut My Hair, which is kind of shit.
Yeah.
But you could tell that they all contributed like in a writing aspect.
Yeah.
And, you know, in you know, musical arrangements and things like that. So there was a lot more than just like, this is going to be my song. Well, I rap the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot more layers to the musical contributions, I thought, on the Deja Vu album.
I'm on board with you. I'm in the Deja Vu camp here. What I noticed, like, I listened to both of them on Spotify, and like when you go through each track on Spotify, it'll tell you who's singing it, and
mm-hmm.
like the Firm is only attributed to like five of the, like, well, hang on, a lot of these have intros, but like they're not on every album, or
uh-huh.
they're not on every track, and it's like there's another band called Cannabis, and it's spelled like C-A-N.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Like they were attributed to some of the things, and I'm like, but that's like a different band, right? Like, I don't know. It was confusing. Like,
yeah, I think Dr. Dre was like working on his Beats headphones, like when he was quote unquote producing this.
Yeah, which is too bad. Okay, so Cannabis. Oh, that's just one guy. He's not even in the band. He wasn't attributed, but he was in. Like, he was singing on some of the. And it's like, I understand that featuring, you know, having featured artists makes a lot of sense, or maybe you're, like, trying to get someone a leg up, but, like, this is a super group. You've pulled together, like, four talented adults who are already succeeding in this, like, just have them do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, have them take turns. But
sure.
And then, like, it just didn't seem well-balanced in that way. Like, it seemed that on Deja Vu, like, they're like, okay, well, I wrote a song, you're gonna sing on it, or like, I wrote
mm-hmm.
a song, you can sing on it. Like, it was even keel, and I'm pretty sure that was like also like very strictly figured out, because they're like, well, I'm not pulling more weight than Neil Young, that piece of shit, you know, like, so it seemed like, and that's kind of how you have to deal with like some of these egos. Or like,
yeah,
okay, you get two songs, he gets two songs, you get, like, or they're like, no, I want to have like 10 songs, you know, like, so I want to try some stuff out before I go out on my own. So,
sure.
But I think they did a better job. Okay, what about which album did a better job, you know, producing a single that hooked everybody? Because both of these were going to be fan favorites. Everyone was super excited that these super groups were formed by these
mm-hmm.
talented artists at the time.
Well, I got to say, I mean, the only album that I had actually recognized songs off of was the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young album, Teach Your Children.
Yeah.
And Our House and Woodstock.
I didn't even know it was called Woodstock. I thought it was like We Are All Stardust.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those were songs that I had actually heard before and that I had actually enjoyed before. Like, I didn't know Our House was a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song.
Yeah.
Same thing with Woodstock. I didn't know that.
Right.
But I knew, you know, Teach Your Children was, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, an all-time anthem from that late 60s, early 70s era. But
yeah.
I hadn't heard, you know, anything off of the Firm album, and it's probably for good reason, just because there wasn't anything on there that would have been worthy of, you know, big time radio play or
a
single.
That's the thing, is like they might have been on the radio. I know they went gold in Canada, so that means nothing to no one. You know? But it's, everyone was sort of pissed off because like they thought that Nas sold out, and everyone was looking forward to something that was going to be less poppy. Which, I wouldn't have said this is pop, but, you know, this is, like, the mid-90s, or, like, late 90s, so everything's sort of upside down anyway, genre-wise. So, no, I'm with you here, because, like, I thought I had recognized the song, like, where they're, like, make money, money, make money, money, and then take money. I'd heard that before, but I can, like, I'd heard of The Firm. Like, people had talked about it, but I, you know, no one warned me, so...
Yeah, right. Apparently Firm Biz
was a
single and actually had like a music video for it.
There you go.
It says a music video was released soon after release for the single. In the beginning, it shows a man trying to rob a bank while the man is riding on his car.
Spoilers.
On his car.
Spoilers.
And trying to flee. Nas and AZ are planning to catch him.
What?
So...
So they are they law enforcement officers?
It says a remix of Firm Biz was released by Nicki Minaj on her 2008 mixtape Sucka Free as Firm Biz 08 featuring Jadakiss.
All right.
There you go.
Pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Well, now we know why there's beef between those two, though.
There you go.
So that's good.
It all ties together.
Got to air that out, finally.
it's what everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah. All right. Last of all, which supergroup is an example of the whole being better than the sum of its parts?
Okay, I'm going to... it looks like we already know who's going to win this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw a bone to The Firm here.
Okay.
And here's why. Because I think that... We talked about how great the harmonies are for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and they're amazing. You know, I saw some... one critic said that... This is the best American rock album of all time.
Yeah.
Without any kind of like the British rock influence.
Right.
However, you know, all those guys in there could be successful in other in solo avenues.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. However, The Firm, you know, like I said with Nature, you know, I would have probably never heard of him had it not been for this album.
Right.
And I thought he had the best track on the album.
Yeah.
And Foxy Brown, while she was popular for a while there, she never really did anything good.
Right.
You know, she was popular because she was kind of hot, and she talked about, you know, going down on guys and getting banged, and guys like that.
Turns
you know,
out.
When a hot girl says that, you know, tells all these things she's going to do to you, you know, you're going to buy her album.
Nice.
Because you think that might actually happen.
Right.
But I'm going to – against my better judgment, I'm going to throw a bone to the Firm here, just because I thought that – you know, when they came together, it wasn't – the whole thing wasn't terrible.
Right.
You know, it had some good stuff on there. And I don't know if Foxy Brown's ever had good stuff, even though I had a couple of her albums.
Right.
Doesn't mean it was good.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not as big on Nas as as a lot of other people are. So I'm going to say, like, when they're coming together, instead of it's a little bit like we're you ever heard like the saying, like I've never banged an eight, but I've banged two threes and a two.
Yeah.
it's kind of that.
Yeah.
Like none of these people on this album, on the Firm album, are eights.
Right.
But if you take like a five and a two and a couple of ones, it's not bad.
I think that's sort of like they were all popular before this, and then after this they started to lose it.
Yeah.
And like, so this was sort of their last big hurrah.
Sure.
Like, and I think that counter to that, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, they all went on to better things, even though they said that like this album sold better than all their other ones put together. Mm-hmm. But like that doesn't mean that this is their best work. Just
sure.
Like, you know, like when the Beatles first came out, like they were selling out everything because they were doing pop. And then once mm-hmm. they started like doing their own stuff, they sort of, you know, alienated some of their audience. And
yeah.
I think that that's like, you're going to go on to do different things, but like, you know, I think they went on to do better things, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. And I don't think that the Firm did. Like, this was their, they were good before this, and then they sort of fell apart after this.
Sure.
So I'm going to give it to them too. I just voted like party lines with Dan the whole time. So
that's who are the people in Washington that like
Congress,
the ones
lobbyists.
That like,
Lobbyists.
Yeah.
So,
just like a lobbyist. I'm just telling you who to vote for.
You're keeping track at home. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young's 1970 album Deja Vu took home the gold today for supergroup albums. They beat out The Firm, the hip-hop group from 1997's one album, The Album, which, I mean, if you're going to give points to, you know...
creativity?
I'm going to have to give it to neither of them. They're like,
I'm going to say The Album is a pretty creative name.
See, I thought The Firm was a creative name.
Like, what are we going to call this album?
Which album?
The album. The album, motherfucker. The album that we are doing.
They're like, can
the
we
one
call
album.
It, can we call it The Album, motherfucker? Like, nah, I don't think that'll sell. Like, they won't put it up in Street Side. You know? It's too edgy.
White people.
We're the worst. So we'll be back in just a minute with some recommendations for supergroups. And we're back. And so now this is the part of the show where we talk about recommendations. So which supergroup should we listen to, Dan, if we're not going to – because we're sort of out of it with the other ones. We're tapped out. We don't want to talk about them anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Traveling Wilburys.
Oh, Libby loves those guys. She talks
about
them nonstop.
My dad actually does a couple of their – my dad's band does a couple of their songs.
Oh, cool.
Handle With Care is one. I'm so tired of being lonely.
That's a good one. So tell me about some of the people in there.
So it's the only one that I'm not like super familiar with is Jeff Lynne, who was in the Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh, okay. ELO to all those big fans
so,
out there.
He was a guitarist and a singer for ELO. And then you've got frickin' Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Roy Orbison.
Right.
Pretty Woman.
He's now like his contribution, his vocal contribution is like crazy. Like he's so good.
Yeah. He whenever I do an impersonation of Roy Orbison, I do like
you have to put the glasses on.
I put the glasses on, and then I do like a ghost who's like like stuttering.
That's good.
I'm so tired of being lonely.
Now I'm scared. I like it.
I just want some love to give.
So scary.
And then there's Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Who's
R-
like
R.I.P.
Tom Petty's in like my top 10 all time.
I didn't know that.
I had a rough like couple years there when I lost like three of my top 10.
Yeah.
Prince, David Bowie, and Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Like
but
when we
think
talk
of the
about
super group in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like when you talk about like songwriters, lyricists, the ability to play musical instruments and the ability to sing and produce like wonderful music, like three of my top 10, like died within the, you know, period of like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then, George Harrison.
Oh man.
You know,
that's like such a diverse group of people that you're like, I wonder if they know each other.
a lot of these guys showed up on the concert. You ever watched the Concert for George?
No.
It's it was, I think it was a PBS thing, and there's this part at the end where they're doing "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," mm-hmm. George Harrison Beatles song, and all these people are out there just, you know, playing guitar and singing on this, and then Prince comes out at the end and just shreds on the guitar and then just throws his guitar into the air and never comes back down. He just walks off the stage. He doesn't stop to like get the applause or anything like that. He just throws his guitar into the air. Awesome. The gods accepted the gift that Prince had offered them.
Well, I think he had borrowed their
Oh, the yeah, they he asked heaven if he could borrow like one of like Moses's guitar.
Everybody knows Moses was a drum guy, but
that's,
yeah.
That's true. So I apologize.
Thank you.
But the Traveling Wilburys, man, they had a couple of like volume. There was just like volume one, volume two, volume three.
Yeah.
And it was actually like volume one, and then like 2 years later, volume three came out.
Yeah.
So there's like volume two was like not lost. Really a thing.
It was lost.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, how could you go wrong with you know, that many talented musicians together? And the fact that they were able to do multiple albums together without their egos, you know.
Yeah, because those are big names.
I mean, Bob Dylan's got a freaking, like, Nobel Prize.
Right. Roy Orbison was huge back then.
Yeah.
Like,
Roy Orbison was, you know, a lot of people just kind of see him as, like, the pretty woman.
Yeah.
But you know, crying.
No, who's
over you.
There we go. Here comes the scary part. I'm so scared.
Crying, only the lonely.
I'm getting chills because of fear, not because of talent. Just straight up fear. But like, also Tom Petty's sort of he struck me as the Target commercial. Love that little dog.
Yep.
I like Tom Petty sort of seemed like the dark horse in that group. Like he probably was the most calm, like, you know, like,
just because he's always high.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
He looks like Jim Brewer. He's like looks like he's always high.
He's got stuff like, to do, you know.
Yeah, drugs.
Oh yeah. Well, he would just seem sort of like George Harrison and Bob Dylan would be having like a silent argument, or they just like wouldn't be talking to anybody, and he'd calm them both down, you know. He'd give them both
Bob
back
Dylan
rub.
Talk, but nobody could understand what he was saying. Hey, busy, and George is like, Bob, what the fuck you talking about, man? Tom Petty's like, hey guys, let's just like chill and make music.
Yeah.
And Roy Orbison says, does anybody want to order a pizza?
Now it sounds like a Mr. Ed. It sounds like a straight up ghost.
He does sound like Mr. Ed.
Like a horse's ghost, which is like also scary. Reminds me of Lord of the Rings.
But to me, man, this is like the quintessential supergroup. Like these guys had they weren't just like parts of successful bands.
Right.
Like they were insanely successful.
Well, they were all successful on their own too. Like George Harrison went off on his own. Like Bob Dylan was doing solo stuff. Like Tom Petty had the Heartbreakers, but he also was doing a lot of his own, you know, heavy lifting.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are on, you know, a lot of people's, you know, all time top 10 musicians.
Or their bands were.
Yeah, and then they got together. To me, that's like like I said, the quintessential supergroup. When you don't just take people that were in a successful band. You take people that were prominently in a successful band or prominently successful by themselves, and you put them together. And to me, that's, I mean, just like everything. I mean, this group put it together so perfectly. Yeah. So I suggest any of their albums. No way you cannot enjoy it. And then I'll hear what yours is, and then I'll throw an honorable mention in too.
Okay, cool. I went with The Rock on Tours, which is so it's mostly Jack White. Like, he's the most famous person in it, but like, he doesn't sing all of the lead vocal. So he is an incredibly talented guitarist, and if you want to watch a good movie, a good documentary about him, it also has The Edge in it. Okay. It's called
The Wrestler. Yeah, he's cool.
He plays guitar too, right?
I don't
with
know.
Bono.
Oh, that Edge. Gotcha.
It's called This Is Gonna Get Loud or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty good, and it just like sort of gives you a window into his mind, and he just wants to play music. Like, he was in another like band after the White Stripes called The Dead Weather. And so he pulled one of the guys from that into this, and then one guy was he was just solo artist who was popular in like rock and roll, and he got pulled into that. So like, it's mostly like, I know it as Jack White's band, but like, these guys are popular in their own way too. But they put out like a lot of like interesting, like not pop music, but poppy rock and roll. And like, I'm always looking for anybody who can do anything with rock and roll today that isn't Kings of Leon, mm-hmm. you know, or like Imagine Dragons. Like, I don't want to listen to that because I don't think it's very good. And these are like some really talented musicians, and they're doing like some creative stuff. And they're like, it's obvious they're having fun making music. Like, mm-hmm. they are not egomaniacs, you know, like, they're not the most popular people ever. But they're all very talented and contributing a lot to the group. And it's so one of the bands was called Velvet Revolver. I don't know if you remember mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like, that sort of seems like they're kind of washed up, like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Like guys and like, and then a different lead singer. Who was the lead singer? Do you remember? I think he's dead now.
That was, so Slash was in that, right?
Yeah.
Slash was play the guitar.
There were two people in it from Guns N' Roses.
And was it Scott Weiland?
That's it, yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots?
That's it, yeah. That's it.
Gotcha.
That sort of struck me as sort of like a, like they all needed more money after they retired sort of thing. Where mm-hmm. like the Traveling Wilburys is sort of like their initial band sort of dissolved because of egos, and they're like found guys to jam
yeah.
with.
Like, dude, we just want to play music without, like, the fucking drama.
Right.
You know?
And that's what I sort of see The Rock on Tours as, is because, like, Jack White was in the White Stripes, and he's just like, this is not, no longer tenable. Like, we can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And, like, so he started another group, The Dead Weather, and he's like, can't do this anymore. And The Rock on Tours has been more successful, so.
Gotcha.
Right, who's your honorable mention?
The Million Dollar Quartet.
Okay,
you know
go
who
on.
That is?
Of course not. No way.
So it was a, it was like in the mid 50s.
Oh, best time for music. Greatest generation of music.
down in Memphis, there was the Sun Record Studios.
Yes.
Which was okay. Elvis's
yes.
studio. And there was like a jam session, kind of. Okay. And it was Elvis Presley. It was Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, Mr. Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
It was Johnny Cash.
Oh my God!
And it was Carl Perkins, and Carl Perkins is probably the name that
the Carl Perkins
that you don't recognize from there.
I do,
but I'm he also... was he's like one of the greatest rock and roll songwriters of all time.
Oh.
He's written for Elvis, Jimi Hendrix,
oh
Johnny
God.
Cash, Eric Clapton, the Beatles, and
so
Paul
sort
McCartney.
Of like the Pharrell of the
yeah.
50s.
Right, exactly. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
As
you know,
writer.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Writer, producer.
And Paul McCartney even said if there was no, there's a quote, it says if there was no Carl Perkins, there would be no Beatles.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so I don't know if there's like much bigger compliment than that.
Yeah.
But this was kind of, if you look up the history of it, it was just like it was an impromptu jam session, mm-hmm. December 4th, 1956 at Sun Record Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. And, there was an article written in the newspaper about it, and the title of the article was The Million Dollar Quartet. Mm-hmm. So the recording wasn't released until 1981. So it was like, 25 years later?
Wow.
It was like 17 tracks. And then a few years later, they found even more tracks.
Oh, my gosh.
And they called it the Complete $1 Million Session, is the name of the album. And it says in 1990, the recordings were released in the United States as Elvis Presley and the $1 Million Quartet. And it's the article here says it's considered a seminal moment in rock and roll. And I heard that there's like a book written about this one session.
Yeah.
Which I need to find and read, because it sounds like, I just don't even know like how this like happens, and then just how it, you know, comes together like that.
That's really cool.
But I mean, you know, you think about some of the biggest names in rock and roll history.
Right.
That's pretty crazy.
That's really cool.
And there's I'm looking at the it says a 1986 reunion of the surviving members of the $1 Million Quartet was in 1986. This time they added another Sun Records alumnus, Roy Orbison.
Oh, man, that guy gets around.
He does.
Good for him.
Bringing it back to Roy Orbison. Apparently I'm just a huge Roy Orbison fan. I didn't realize it.
That's, yeah. Well, I mean, like, I didn't know I liked Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. But, mm-hmm. like, I listened to their album. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard these songs. These are good songs.
Yep. So, I do that to you all the time when I...
I'll blow my mind.
I'll say a name, and then I'll sing the song. You go, oh, yeah!
Like, now I officially like Hall & Oates now, which, you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know. They sing Rage Girl. Who knew?
I got to tell you that some of the songs on the... if you listen to this $1 Million Quartet album... Like, at the first, like, they're just kind of, like, fucking around with, like, some of the songs that... Okay, what do I know how to play on the piano?
Right.
Well, Elvis is like, well, I know how to play Love Me Tender. Let's do that. And then it's, like, Jingle Bells and, like, White Christmas.
Classics.
And then it's, like, let's do Don't Be Cruel, like, four different times.
Yeah.
And,
that's the thing about, like, the session is, like, it's an experience. It's not supposed to be something... Mm-hmm. It's not single ready. It's not...
Yeah, exactly. It's just a, you know, guys, like... You know, getting together and like one will start playing a song, or like say it, like what, you know, what chord are you going to be in, and you know, I'll join in, and it's I wish I had enough musical talent to be able to, you know, just pick up an instrument and, you know,
one day
like that, maybe who knows.
Yeah, you got to do something when you retire.
I'll stop being a big old piece of garbage between now and then.
One can always dream.
Yep.
Always dream. All right, man. Now's the plug section of the show. What do you want to tell us about your media empire?
The Rhino Podcast Nation.
Yeah.
We're gonna start get our own network here pretty soon.
Oh yeah.
And Rhino Wrestling Review on ProWrestling.com, and also on all podcast platforms. It's on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on Spotify.
Dang.
But you know, if you don't have any of those, you can always listen to it on ProWrestling.com, and that makes me look good too.
Excellent.
And then Twitter is at Rhino, @RYNO_wrestling, and I'm at Dan Rhino. And then that one is not safe for work unless you're wearing headphones.
Huh.
But the one that is safe for work is the Harry Potter podcast I do with my lovely wife.
So you listen to one on the car ride to work, then you listen to one at work, then on the car
ride. This one, the Broomsticks and Butterbeer, you can play out loud. And that's I'm reading the Harry Potter books for the first time. My wife's read them like 10 times. So we're going – each episode is a chapter of the book, and we're like midway through the third book right now.
Exciting.
And it's just kind of, you know – you've been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
You've been on the wrestling podcast before, too.
That's
Mike
true.
The Wrestling Philistine.
Yeah.
And
I'm a Ravenclaw. Those are my two.
You are.
I got to have a handle in Dan's world.
So you've been made appearances on both of those, and that is on all those podcast platforms as well. And we just now got a Twitter for that one. I got off my ass and made a Twitter account. So
they're expensive and hard to manage. You know?
Yeah, and really hard to create too. They make it so difficult. Yeah. Like you have to
have a phone.
You have to make a password. You have to.
Oh, you have a password for yours? Man,
yours is not password protected. Just like anybody can post on.
That's why I'm just waiting. Something good's gonna happen.
That Twitter is at broomsticksb, the letter B at broom, because they don't let you put a real long Twitter handle. Nash. So it's broomsticksb.
You should do the real broomsticks.
We get that verified check mark. One day, man, I'm gonna learn a musical instrument and I'm gonna get that verified check mark.
That's what summer break's for, man. Yep. All right. Okay, well, everybody, thanks for tuning in today. This has been Comparing Apples to Oranges, and we decided that Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's album Deja Vu was the better supergroup record to listen to, beating out Nas's The Firm, the album.
Could give a shot, though.
Yeah, you know? Come on.
Give them both a listen.
What? Yeah, come on.
I think that's the fun part of the podcast. Yeah. I think by the time we get done talking about it, you know, how could you not at least be a little intrigued to...
Yeah. I'm going to go watch that music video.
There you go.
I hadn't heard about that. So.
And look, download you some Million Dollar Quartet as well.
That sounds good.
See, I piqued your interest on a couple of things there.
Whet my appetite.
Yeah, W-H-E-T.
Yeah, sharpened it. Very sharp. But thanks for tuning in to Comparing Apples to Oranges. I'm Mike.
Dan.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Congratulations for bringing me down. Congratulations, now I'm sorrow bound. Congratulations, you got a good deal. Congratulations, how good you must feel.
There's some traveling wheelberries for you. Hope you liked it, and I hope you liked this whole episode with Dan and me talking about supergroups. We had a lot of fun doing it. Hope the sound quality wasn't too bad. Just remember, this was episode 39. And if you like us, check us out on Tumblr. We are Comparing Apples to Oranges, all one word, .tumblr.com. You're going to find some links to co-host stuff, mostly Dan stuff up there. Episodes past, episodes future, episodes current. You got comments or ideas for future episodes of the podcast, send it to Twitter at the Cato Podcast, all one word, or email us at catopodcast@gmail.com. The intro, outro, and music bed music was the song Thumbs Up by the great artist named Leisure B. And if you liked what he was putting out, go ahead and check him out at humanworkshop.com. Catch you guys later. Bye. Thank you.